to The Sexuality Show from True Life Relationships, your one source for sexual liberation and fulfillment, where you will break free from your limitations and attain the love life of your dreams. Are you ready? Let's get started then.
Welcome to The Sexuality Show, episode number 15. From True Life Relationships, I am Brian Krall, bringing sexual liberation and fulfillment to listeners everywhere. I've got a really interesting, cool episode for you today. This episode is on female sexual psychology. Now, mind you, this is not an episode that is for just women or for just men. It is for both genders to learn about female sexual psychology, since women are such complex creatures psychologically. Both genders, I think, are always trying to figure out how the female mind works, and especially when it comes to sexuality, where both men and women are in these sexual relationships. The female mind can be a very complicated thing to try to understand in these relationships. So, to teach us all about female sexual psychology today, I have Erwan Davon, who specializes in this topic and who is a sexuality teacher and teaches pleasure courses with his company, Erwan Davon Teachings. How are you today, Erwan?
I'm doing fantastic. It's good to be with you, Brian.
Yeah, I'm actually really excited about this episode because I've been trying to figure out women my whole life, just like I think every other man out there. And I'm pretty sure that every man is going to be very eager to hear what you have to teach about female sexual psychology. And women will, too. And you do teach this to both genders, right?
That's right. Most of our students are women, in fact, probably about 60% women, about 40% men.
So is there a difference in the way that you teach this to men and women?
Not necessarily. With men, it tends to be a little bit more about learning and seeing things that they didn't see. With women, it tends to be a little bit more about the woman opens up, gets more permission. Women are more knowledgeable about not only relationship in general, but about female sexual psychology. So maybe it's a little bit more of a space for women to come out and a little bit more of a space for men to actually learn something.
Right. So men need it more, really, since they're the ones that do not have the female mind. So can you tell us a little bit about your teachings and your company just as an introduction to them?
Yeah, I've been teaching people in the domain of their love lives and sex lives since 1995. Before that, I taught for two transformational organizations. I've always been into people and working with people. I studied psychology before that, so I have a degree in psychology. I went into the transformational self-development realm. And then from there, I just took a look at what was I really the most interested in. And I was the most interested in not just people, but the romantic connection, because I thought that was the most fun. So I guess that's about 19 years ago. I really focused in on this area, and it's been the ride of a lifetime. My wife and I have worked with thousands of singles and couples, and it's really just been a blast. And probably what distinguishes us is that we take a spiritual approach, a psychological approach, and a skills kind of learning, whether it's extended orgasm or how to pick somebody up or whatever. We take all three of those approaches, and we find all three of them actually essential to somebody really learning and actually having a better love and sex life.
Okay. Now, did you meet your wife before you had learned all of this, or did you learn all of this and then use it to be able to get with your wife?
I learned some of it, used it to be able to get with my wife.
Okay.
And then learned more, a lot more, after we were together.
Okay. So first and foremost, can you talk to me and the listeners about what the primary differences are between male and female sexual psychology?
Sure. Among the variety of differences, and there's a lot of them between female and male sexual psychology, probably the most fundamental is that female sexual psychology is far more hidden. a young girl learns to hide her sexual self for a variety of reasons. That's probably the biggest difference.
Yeah, and that's one of the biggest reasons why I have made this show. It's actually a show that I've made specifically for women in many ways. Now, this is a show that is also for men, but I feel like the dating, relationship, and sexuality industries are mainly tapered towards teaching men and not women, because women have been taught that it's inappropriate for them to be in touch with their sexuality. They're taught not to embrace it, and certainly not to seek out teachings on how to be more sexual. So I try to make a show that is specifically geared towards being able to reach women and help them as well, and feel as though they undergo such bad social conditioning, such adverse social conditioning with their sexuality, and are very sexually stifled. So I just want to help them to become unstifled. Now, can you talk to me about the difference between women's natural sexuality and their learned sexuality?
Well, women are naturally sexual. You know, men are naturally sexual in a different sense. And yeah, social conditioning does have the negative kind of effect, typically, that you were talking about, devaluing female sexuality, fears about feminine sexuality. The sort of summary that we can say is that women aren't allowed to let the cat out of the bag, so to speak. And it, you know, it really reduces the fun for both men and women. There's just tremendous possibility there. And women tend to know that, you know, and I think guys tend to know that also. But it's kind of like, how do you actually do that? How do you have a relationship, whether it's somebody that you're dating or a boyfriend, girlfriend, or somebody that you're in a committed or married to? How do you have a relationship where the sex gets better and better, where the cat is let out of the bag, there's permission for all of that? How do you transcend those issues? Those really are largely psychological issues. They're cultural issues and sociological and all the rest of it. But how they manifest in a human being is largely psychological. And we have to actually go into a person's psychology really to unravel that. How was the person conditioned? Since we're talking about women today, how was the little girl conditioned? What kind of cultural environment was she involved in? You know, did her mother celebrate that she was a little girl? Did her father appropriately celebrate her little girlness and her femininity and her sexuality without going overboard, but at the same time actually celebrating it so that she develops a positive relationship to her gender and to her eventual sexuality? If those foundations aren't there, they really crimp a person's style. They really hold a person back, and then it manifests later in all kinds of inhibitions, prohibitions. The sexual self gets segmented off, gets sort of split off. And that's one of the main things to understand, if I was sort of summarize what I'm saying, is that females typically have a very large split between their manifest conscious personality and their sexual self. There's often a very strong division between those two.
Okay. So can you talk to us about some of the ways in which women are socially conditioned to be out of touch with their sexuality, and how they can overcome that social conditioning and get back in touch with their sexuality?
Yeah, I mean, how that happens, I'll elaborate a little bit on what I was just saying. As a young girl develops psychologically, this split between a sexual self and a non-sexual self happens. And it really starts right in the beginning, you know, right with her earliest relationship, which is typically her mother. And does that caretaker, does her mother celebrate the little girl's sex as much as a little boy's? Typically, she doesn't, for a variety of reasons. Boys are often valued more, not as much these days, not as much in this culture, but still, that's an effect. And then also, a mother-son relationship is a polarized relationship. They're of different genders. And the mother is typically the primary caretaker. So if a mother has a son, there's a way she tends to celebrate his gender that she doesn't necessarily do with a little girl. So there's kind of the cultural conditioning of diminished value, and the relationship with the boy and his mother is a polarized relationship. So something gets celebrated there that doesn't necessarily get celebrated with a little girl. Now, social prejudice, we've talked about, also impacts this split immediately after birth. It can be a very disruptive influence on a positivity towards one's gender that would naturally and organically grow. Later, as the little girl actually becomes more overtly aware of her gender, of her femaleness, biologically and otherwise, her primary relationship tends to transfer from her mother to her father. She identifies with her mother as she grows up, typically, but polarizes with the father. So there's an identification with the mother, but there's a polarized relationship, in a sense, relationship of opposites, if you will. You can think of like a battery. A battery has a positive pole and a negative pole. It's polarized. It allows current to flow through it. So she identifies with her mother, but she polarizes with the father. And depending on how this new father-daughter polarized relationship is handled, she'll either regain contact with her sexual self, her gender, her sexuality, or continue to lose contact with it. So to summarize what I've said so far, in the mother-daughter relationship, there's often a kind of loss of that contact with her gender and her sort of very young sexuality, mostly as in a form of gender at that point. So there's some loss there, but then when the primary relationship transfers to the father, it can be regained if the father celebrates her gender in an appropriate way. Now, there's also Oedipal issues, basically fears involved in a father-daughter polarized relationship. Sometimes parents are too non-sexual. Like, obviously, it's not good for a parent to be exploitive or have any kind of overt, manifest sexual relationship with the child. But there should be a celebration of, talking about a girl here, her little girlness, an appropriate level of celebration of that. But sometimes that's really inhibited. These are Oedipal issues. If those are well handled, in other words, her femaleness is celebrated but not exploited, then she'll have greater contact with the young aspects of her sexuality and later her full female sexuality. So these very early relationships with the mother and then the father and how that goes and the maintaining or regaining contact with her femaleness and her young sexuality, which will blossom into a more mature sexuality later, how that goes is very, very important. And you also asked about how to repair the damage. Yeah. Well, to repair the damage, you actually have to go really deep and really early deal with things at that level. It's been about 20 years I've been working with people on this, and my wife and I've worked with thousands of singles and couples. And what we found is that, you know, kind of motivating people and telling people things that are exciting and giving them new sort of skills and stuff like that. Yeah, you know, that's good and it has its place, you know, and we certainly do some of that. But if you really want somebody to retain the transformation, not be kind of a workshop high, but really actually retain the growth and development, you have to deal with the issues at their root. And you have to actually work with the person psychologically as well as at a kind of skills level or inspirational, motivational level, or even spiritual level. And there's a lot of good work out there about spirituality and spiritual sexuality and all the rest of that. But if there's not some sophistication in terms of dealing with how did relationship with daddy go? You know, how did relationship with mommy go? And the person starts to understand that and that gets taken out of the unconscious and into the conscious. Well, if that's not done, a person's not really going to transcend those issues. So that kind of deep nitty-gritty work of, we call it revealing a relationship blueprint, revealing a person's relationship blueprint. They're very early blueprint of their romantic and sexual psychology, that's got to be revealed. There's emotions to feel. There's understanding to do. It's actually a very deep process because the workshop high, it just doesn't last. So what we really seek to do with people is really train them, work with them psychologically, work with them spiritually so they get in contact with their being and their presence and their true nature and all of that, get in contact with their energy, their life force, all of that kind of spiritual stuff, but then also work with the person psychologically so that those psychological knots, that relationship blueprint, doesn't dominate them from their unconscious. Because if it does dominate them from their unconscious, they can get high as many times as they want in, you know, workshops or books or insights or all the rest of that. But that massive force of conditioning will sooner or later kind of come back and they'll find themselves back in that predicament. And we find that when people try to do it sort of a quick fix way, it doesn't really tend to stick. It doesn't really tend to work. So that's basically how to do it. This is a vitally important area for people. So kind of do it thoroughly, do it well.
Yes, especially because it's not just in the home where this sort of psychological conditioning is happening. It's in society too. There's a social conditioning where we live in a patriarchal society. Most other societies outside of America are patriarchal. And so men's sexuality is very much promoted and women's sexuality is very much discouraged. Men are taught that it's okay to have multiple partners, but women are taught that they need to minimize the amount of partners that they have. Men are taught that it's okay to show sexual intentions to women early on in an interaction, and women are taught that they should be very reserved sexually and try to hide their sexual desires towards men. So how can we help to undo that sort of social psychology and help to promote women's sexuality and make them feel like it's okay for them to be more sexual and express their sexuality and experience it?
It's a good question, Brian. It's really a function of dedicating oneself to that exploration, really inquiring into that area and having some structure that facilitates that inquiry. We work with people weekly. We work with people in intensive retreat formats, you know, really just a whole variety of formats. And I receive that kind of work myself currently today, and I have throughout my whole life. And I needed it because you're talking about social and psychological influences. I grew up in New York City in the 70s and 80s, and my parents had a very dysfunctional relationship prior to their divorce, which happened very early. And it was just a really very difficult, actually. So from a difficult start, it took all of that for me. I have about 15 years of psychoanalysis under my belt multiple times a week. I have been studying psychology, studying sexuality, been in a variety of different structures and systems to develop myself in these ways, including psychological structures that really brought this unconscious material out to the forefront for me so that I could see my psychological blueprint. I remember before I'd met my wife, I'd been in a lot of relationships, and some of the relationships had lasted up to 5 years, and these women were great for the most part. But I was never satisfied in the relationship, and eventually I really had to take a look at that, and I investigated that, and I found that I was protecting myself from intimacy, from really diving into a relationship, because I was very afraid of intimacy. I was very afraid of diving in fully. And, you know, I always had one foot out the back door, and I traced that back all the way to my relationship with my mother and dealt with a lot of grieving and a lot of feeling and so on. And that process allowed me to dive into the relationship with my wife. If I hadn't done it that way or that thoroughly, you know, I would have a lot of insights, but not actually have what we call an eternal date. An eternal date is a relationship that gets better and better over time, more and more intimate over time, fully committed. The sexuality gets hotter and hotter by the years. You know, right. We've been together for almost a dozen years, and our sex life is better now than it was in the beginning, and it was hot in the beginning. So it took that kind of dedication and training, and that's what I recommend for people.
Okay. So for a woman who's listening to this and realizing that she has been sexually stifled in some kinds of ways through her social conditioning and the way in which she psychologically developed, how can she start to step into her sexuality more, experience it more fully, and become a more openly and freely sexual being?
There's things she can do, like be around turned on women, be around women who are more freed up. That's really good. Any level of directly addressing the issue is good, even if it is picking up a book and reading, you know, something, the Tao of Sex or something like that, where she starts to confront those issues. Anything that's really going to heal that split with the sexual self, it's going to give her more permission. It's going to allow her to contact that. There's a series of exercises we give people called our sensuality exercises, where the person takes a while and sets up the environment for all of their senses. So she'd set it up with her favorite tastes and smells and visuals and that kind of thing, and then enjoy that space and kind of get into her sensuality. And then she'd experiment with different kinds of touches that she'd like and, you know, look at herself in the mirror and find things that she likes about her body. So there's different exercises like that that are great. There's the Taoist tradition, you know, interestingly enough. The Taoist tradition has a lot of great things to say about female sexual psychology, breathing into the sexual energy and feeling it and breathing into the genitals and that kind of thing. So those are great practices. We train people in extended orgasm, so we use a lot of that, like actually feeling the lower half of the body and feeling the genitals and using the breath and contacting those energy centers, if you will. If you're into yoga, those chakras. If you're into more of a Western approach, those physical parts of the body and sort of re-inhabiting them. And that kind of direct approach, it's different than the psychological approach we were just talking about, but it has a very powerful impact, because although you do want to sort out what's going on psychologically, you don't want to sit in that forever and meditate on that forever, because there you may gain a greater understanding, but the person can end up sort of meditating on it and actually reinforcing it. So right. It's good to understand it, bring it out of the unconscious, but then really switch to sort of more practical application, breathing and feeling and connecting with the partner. And there's where you'd bring in the skills and maybe some of the energy work and that kind of thing. And it breaks the hypnosis of that early conditioning. You do need to use your head and discover some things and inquire and all that, but you also want to switch to practical application, to the body, to feeling, and get out of that headspace.
Okay. So what are some of the positive mindsets that women can step into where they're thinking of sex more positively and empowering themselves sexually with their own thoughts? Like, what should they be thinking to themselves about their sexuality?
Well, a very powerful thing to realize is that sexuality is being. By being, I mean human being, our consciousness, or that part of ourselves, our awareness, you know, sort of spiritual term. How being makes more beings is through sex. So
right.
To say that something is wrong with sex, I mean, that's just really backwards.
Exactly.
You know, how life creates more life is through sex. And we're wired up that it feels really, really good.
Yep.
So to think that there's something wrong with it, or for a woman to hassle herself about it, or for the culture to hassle a woman about it, that's just completely backwards.
Yeah.
It really is inherently sacred.
Yes, and it feels good for a reason. So I think women just need to realize that sex is sacred, sex is natural, sex is about life and evolution and promoting the evolution of life, and realize there's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with that. I mean, there's various reasons why women have been sexually stifled that they don't really need to even consider anymore. It's not even something you need to be promoting with your own thoughts, because you should be able to experience your sexuality fully. You have the human right to be sexual. It's your body. It's your sexuality. It's something that is healthy for you to be in touch with and be able to experience fully. And so you need to allow yourself to do that and just realize and think to yourself that your sexuality is a sacred thing. It is a life-promoting and positive thing. It feels good for a reason. And allow yourself to experience and express your sexuality when it naturally happens. You know, sex is just a natural bodily function. It's a natural part of the human body and mind. And it's a beautiful, wonderful thing. And it's unfortunate that society has stifled and even shamed women for being sexual, you know, for population control reasons or whatever other control of women that the patriarchal society has wanted to have. But we're stepping out of that now. You know, we have feminism now. We're getting away from the whole controlling women paradigm. So women need to help that process by not allowing their sexuality to be stifled and controlled by this patriarchal social paradigm and become sexually empowered within themselves. However, of course, men can help with this process too. So let's talk about what men need to understand about female sexual psychology so that they can know how to treat women better,
socially and in sexual relationships and be better lovers or better seducers of women, to just help women to experience their sexuality in a much more positive way in whatever context.
I mean, I think the most powerful thing that a man can understand and do is to know that women know what's going on. Women are generally pretty clear. Like everything we've said in this, women pretty much know. And what a guy can do is he can be a gentleman and he can make it easier. He can be better at the seductive process. Mm. He can understand that really it requires actually putting his full attention on a woman and really feeling where she's at and what she wants in a given moment. She may want to be seduced very subtly in a given moment, or really ravaged in a particular moment, or left alone in another particular moment.
Okay.
And to really see where she's at, to actually perceive her and then know how to enter that very sensational, supercharged, full of emotional charge and very physically sensational, supercharged, energetically powerful, important area, that he can approach her with some skill. If we kind of go all the way, just to kind of make this point clear, to sex, most men don't know that much about a woman's genitals. They don't know right. that much about her clitoris and what is the most sensitive part of the clitoris. Most men don't know that a woman's clitoris has a corona, the same way a man's penis has a corona. And they don't know what part of that corona is the most sensitive part. The guy's incredibly interested in her, but he's kind of not paying much attention.
Right.
So the bottom line is guys learning to pay attention. And I don't mean to sort of be negative towards guys. I mean, I had to learn how to pay attention. Women often have to learn how to sort of guide a guy or be friendly and not harsh with a guy in the guidance of that. So men could do a lot to be better seducers. And when I say be a gentleman, I don't mean be a new age guy.
Right.
New age guys, women typically don't like those guys. They're not very gentlemanly. They're almost trying to take over the feminine space themselves.
Right. You know,
they tend to have the least amount of attention on a woman.
Right.
Not more, not less. So I'm not talking about being a new age guy. I'm not talking about being a doormat. You know, I'm not talking about any of that. I'm talking about knowing how to relate to a woman as a woman. She wants the guy to be strong, but she also wants him to be paying attention. She wants him to know what he's doing. She wants him in the seduction process to know how to go forward, but also how to go in reverse. Because almost any woman is turning a guy on. She's interested in a guy. She's turning him on. Maybe it's a guy at a party. Maybe it's her husband. Guy starts to come in. Almost inevitably, at a certain point, she'll turn off for maybe if she got distracted, maybe there was something that happened in their interaction she didn't like, or maybe she's even just kind of seeing how the guy responds to if she shuts it down for a minute. And what she's really testing there is, can the guy also go in reverse? Because a lot of times guys only know how to stay away and they kind of avoid women and they're kind of chicken, or they only know how to like go in and then she turns it off and then boom, he's gone. Then she's like, oh, where was he? Where'd he go? Well, you know, I didn't mean.
Right.
So can the guy respond to where she's at in a way where she's really being paid attention to? She really feels it. It turns her on. And in that case, she's willing to let him in closer and closer and closer, ultimately to some kind of union, you know, emotional, physical, spiritual, sex, high quality, all dimensions of the being, not just physical. If the guy's willing to be that sophisticated in his approach, in other words, that he can go forwards and backwards, that he's paying attention to her, and so on. So that's like a very sort of rough sketch of what guys could do to basically be better with women.
Okay, that's a really great analogy there. And something that I hear guys in the seduction industry talk about all the time, they talk about push-pull. So I think that is very important, because you want to be able to go in. There's men who have the problem of not knowing how to go sexual and how to make advances upon the woman, how to flirt and all of that. But then there's men who don't know how to not do that, how to do other things and go backward when the woman is feeling uncomfortable. So I think that's really important. And it's important to be able to be socially intelligent and in tune with the woman, have what is called social acuity, be able to tune into the woman's social cues that she is giving you to let you know how she feels about what you are doing and how you can respond to that. And understand that women are not like you sexually. Women have been made to feel ashamed of their sexuality in many cases. There's plenty of times when a guy who
is not getting what he wants from a girl, will call her a slut if she has sex with someone else and is not having sex with him. So understand that there is a lot of adverse social conditioning you are working against, and ways in which women have been shamed and made to feel bad and stifled in their sexuality. So what do you have to say to men about when they are dealing with a woman who is not comfortable in their sexuality and is one of those sexually stifled types of women, so that he can treat her in a way that's going to help her to get more sexually comfortable? Because there's been plenty of times in my dating history where I'll meet a woman who I'm starting to like, and then, you know, I start to go sexual with her, talk about sex, and she'll say something to let me know that she is not a person who is comfortable in her sexuality or has not really had a very enjoyable sexual history. And I've had women who will just say, like, I don't like sex, or women who will say, you know, I don't like some aspect of sex, or women who will say that sex is dirty and immoral, or whatever it is, or that they play hard to get. You know, there's a lot of women who play hard to get because they've been made to feel like if they have sex too soon, then they are doing the wrong thing. They're being slutty. So how can we help women who we find that have those sort of adverse mindsets to overcome that and to get more comfortable in their sexuality and feel more safe being in a sexual space with us?
Well, he can start with knowing that the sexual self is often divorced from the not sexual self, sort of split from the sexual self. And he can start to appeal to the part of her that really is a yes, and it is buried. The way to do that that tends to work is to take small steps. And, you know, to give guys kind of a sort of practical to do about this, take small steps. Go gradually.
Okay.
For example, you know, you're going out to dinner, pick a restaurant that the example I often use is maybe a sushi restaurant that has red velvet on the walls. There's a place like that right by where my wife and I live. So that's a little bit more of a sensual environment. You know, instead of going to a lecture, you know, have a picnic on the beach so there's wind, and, you know, maybe go to an amusement park, that kind of thing. And then instead of, you're talking about a woman who's maybe got some challenge being sexual, well, maybe don't go for sex. Maybe give her a massage and leave it at that. Maybe give her a clothed massage and leave it at that.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? You go from a dinner that's in a little bit more of a sensual place to a picnic,
right,
to,
so baby steps.
You know, yeah, but, you know, because then it's going to feel a lot safer, and you're appealing to the physical, sensual part there. And, you know, she's likely to let you in more and more. And, you know, then you do a little backing off if she has an issue, you know,
right,
and then you come back in very slowly. And that typically works pretty well. And then when you get to the bed, don't try to have sex with her. Lay down on the bed, or have her lay down on the bed, sit up by her side, put one hand on her heart, one hand on her abdomen, and spend 15 minutes breathing with her and feeling and that kind of thing. And then maybe from that kind of more healing touch, you do some kind of light stroking, that kind of thing, just over her legs and abdomen, that kind of thing. That turns a person on. And then you still don't go for sex. Good sex only happens when the woman is really into it and going towards the guy. You've got to go at a pace that allows her to come to you. If you're a guy, you've got to go at a pace that allows her to come to you. And guys are often...
Okay.
Rushing so much that like the woman doesn't get to have any appetite. She doesn't
right.
actually get to women want to want.
Right.
You know, she doesn't get to go to the guy. The guy, like, she's so busy fending him off,
right.
you know, that, like, she has to keep turning it down, whereas she'd be much happier turning it up.
So are you saying to not go directly sexual, but instead create just a sensual or romantic vibe and give the sort of illusion that you're there to relate to her as man to woman and to create the possibility of chemistry, but give her the space to be the one to choose to bridge that gap if she wants to? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, I think that's really the essence of it, Brian. You know, let her bridge that gap. Let her come to you, but create a situation that really invites her to do that.
Okay, yeah, I understand that now. So, can you talk to me about the emotional aspect of female sexuality? Because I think that that's really what is one of the main things that separates women from men in their sexual nature, is that women are more emotional creatures, which tends to make them more romantic, and men are not as emotional. I mean, men, of course, do have emotions, but different emotions that cause them to be
a little bit less romantic or sometimes a lot less romantic. And I think that women are oftentimes complaining that men aren't romantic enough, and men are oftentimes complaining about how women are too emotional. So can you talk to me more about the emotional end of female sexual psychology and how men can understand that more and how women can help men to understand that more? Any women listeners who have men in their life, they want to get to understand their emotional nature and their emotional needs when it comes to their sexuality. How can men understand this stuff more?
Yeah, it's a great question. We've been talking a lot about how women are often separated from their sexuality due to history, psychology, parenting, culture, and so on. Well, the same thing happens for guys in the emotional domain, in the emotional space.
Yes.
So for women, sex is not as divorced or separated from being emotionally connected to the person. The truth is, it's just a better sex act if you like the person more and you're more connected to them multiple ways, physically, sexually, emotionally, even spiritually. It's really just a better sex act. Guys tend to be more easily in touch with their sexuality and willing to open that space, but little boys are trained not okay to feel a whole variety of feelings. It's a better sex act if you love the person. It's just a better sex act.
Yes.
Having sex with somebody that you don't love, women are right. That is kind of yuck. I'm not saying you got to marry every person you have sex with. I'm not saying don't have one night stands. I'm not saying any of that. I'm just saying if you really like the person, if you're going to put yourself body to body with them, it's a good idea to also put yourself heart to heart with them. It just feels better. If you're asking her to take the risk of spreading her legs, the guy might want to take the risk of opening his heart.
Right. Yeah, and it's funny because I recently heard a talk done by a woman named Sasha Cobra, and she was talking about how men's sexual energy is centered in their penis, so they feel more with their penis and want to connect more with their penis with the woman, and women, their sexual energy is centered more in their heart and chest area, so they feel more and want to connect more with their heart and their breasts. So the way to a woman's sexuality, she said, is through her heart and breasts, and the way to a man's sexuality is through his penis. And it's funny because you were kind of just saying the same thing about women connecting more with their heart. So do you think that it would help men to have better sexual relationships, to get more in touch with their feminine side?
It's another good question. In a sense, yes. In a sense, I would look at it a little differently. A lot of times what's meant by get more in touch with their feminine side, somehow it ends up with the guy kind of turning into what I call a new age guy.
Right.
And he's actually separating from his inherent masculinity. And that tends not really to work for a relationship. One of the things to have great sex is you want that polarization. You want a guy to be very empowered in his masculine. You want a woman to be very empowered in her feminine. And, you know, men and women have different physiologies that kind of send them in different directions. Now, there is a masculine pole and a feminine pole in each individual, and it's a really good idea to be in contact with that and feel that, but not in the way that it overshadows the person's primary masculinity or femininity. As long as it's not overshadowing your natural organic inclination, sure, absolutely. You know, it gives a wider range of experience. It allows you to understand the other person's position. You're more in contact with yourself. You're more present. Now, when I say a person more in contact with their masculinity or femininity, for most people, it's a male and masculinity, a female and femininity. But for some people, it's not that way. Some people have more of have a female body, but like actually, you know, their gender self-sense is not necessarily that way. It's perhaps even more masculine. There's all kinds of different ways that this can go. But what does tend to work is when you have one person in one end of the polarity, another person in the other end of the polarity. And if you know, that's what works for people who are straight. That's what works for people who are gay. They tend to play from different positions, and it's that difference that creates the spark. So sure, you know, sure, get in touch with your inner masculine, your inner feminine, you know, etc. But don't let it overshadow your sort of more dominant gender identification, if you will.
Okay. So let's say a man and a woman have had sex a bunch of times and they want to enter into a relationship. What do they need to know about the female sexual psychology as it operates and functions in a relationship so that they can be able to connect more deeply and be able to sustain and manage a relationship? Because things do tend to get very complicated in relationships. This is where men will complain that, you know, women don't tend to say what they are thinking sometimes during arguments, or different emotional aspects become very confusing in the relationship. So how can we understand more about how women function in relationships to make them work?
Well, it's another good question, Brian. What we can understand about relationships, and I think it applies to women and men, is that in the beginning, there's all kind of novelty.
Yes.
And there's a lot of projecting your ideal onto the other person. Shortly into the relationship, the underlying psychology, the person's relationship blueprint tends to come out. You kind of get to know the person better. The novelty wears off. Typically, we call that the end of the honeymoon period.
Right.
Typically, the sex dies down. And some people, that takes 3 months. Some people, it takes a year. But that's actually what typically happens for people.
Right.
So what we can understand is that those underlying psychological factors that we talked about earlier, they tend to come out as the relationship progresses, and they have a real dampening effect. And if we're on top of that, both psychologically and at a skills level, for example, learning the skill of extended orgasm, I think it's a vital skill for a couple to have a sex life that gets better and better.
Yes.
It sounds like the holy grail and so impossible, but it's actually not. The person can learn it relatively quickly. The couple is going to have to deal with learning the skills, and the couple is going to have to deal with the psychology. And that if they do that, they can have what we call an eternal date, or sometimes people call it a soulmate relationship, where the sex, the turn on, the juice gets better and better over time. That those two factors really have to be addressed.
Okay. So how can they make sure that their sex life is getting better and better over time? They're having better, longer, bigger orgasms, more of them, and all that really great, amazing stuff.
She's got to be open to his attention.
Okay.
And he's got to learn how to pay attention. He's got to learn about her genitals. She may have to learn about her genitals.
Right.
He's got to learn about orgasm. What is orgasm? What's a clinical definition of orgasm? For example, if you look in a dictionary, they say orgasm is the climax of sexual tension. It's a silly definition, because that could apply to an argument. The climax of sexual tension could equally mean an argument.
Right.
You know, a clinical definition of orgasm, for example, involves that there are involuntary contractions in the genitals, that there's engorgement, that there's a sense of release. There's really a whole variety of aspects of a clinical definition. So he has to learn that. She has to learn that. He has to learn how to put his hands on her in a way that really elicits that response in her body. We talked earlier about him learning how to seduce her on her end. She's got to be open to all of that. You know, she's got to be like, yes, I want to learn to reconnect with my sexual self. Yes, I want to learn extended orgasm. Both people have to learn about giving and receiving, and be maybe more open to putting attention on the other person, or more open to receiving attention. In this case, we're talking more about a woman being open to receiving attention. And then again, the guy has to learn how to give that attention. The skill of extended orgasm we call doing, deliberate orgasm. You know, typically the guy sits up by the woman's side. She lays down in front of him, and he learns how to stimulate her to the point that he can keep her in a state of extended orgasm. That's a lot of skill on his part, a lot of openness on her part. Guys often don't think they need to learn that. Oh, I've only gotten good reports in the past, or they're too shy to learn it, or whatever. It's ridiculous. You know, guys don't know that.
Right.
You know,
well, I've heard that so many times from people. Whenever I will suggest that someone learn how to perform better cunnilingus, or in a woman's case, better fellatio, they will say, oftentimes, they will say, I've never gotten any complaints in the past. It's like, well, I never got any complaints in the past either, but I've always continued researching, and I've only been able to give women more and more orgasms over the years, and that wouldn't have been possible if I had only been given, like, one or two orgasms and been like, okay, I'm not getting any complaints. I'll just stop learning how to give better cunnilingus now. You know, I mean, why not learn how to give more, better, bigger orgasms? Allow yourself to improve and know that there's nothing wrong with improving your sexual skills. It doesn't mean that you're doing poorly. It doesn't mean that you're bad in bed, but you can, even when you are good, still learn how to perform better. I mean, I'm extremely skilled right now, but I'm still taking as many resources and courses and reading as many books
as I possibly can
on how to get even more skilled. You know, I mean, I can give a lot of orgasms now. I can give like between a dozen and 20 orgasms, but that doesn't mean I don't still want to do better. There's really no point in which you have to stop getting better. So there's no shame in improving yourself sexually. That doesn't mean that you are bad in bed. It just means that you can do better. You can still always do better. There's no such thing as being as best as you possibly can be. And the better you get, the better your relationships are going to be and the more pleasure you are going to have. So, yeah, I think that's really great information that you've been giving people.
No, I think it's, you know, why not learn about sex? You know, why not have more fun? If you're at a good place, even better. Learn more. Learn faster.
Exactly. There never should be a stopping point. And when you decide that there is a stopping point, that's when your love life is going to stagnate and plateau and then start to go downhill. I mean, you have to be able to keep things progressing if you want your relationships to be sustainable and to continue to get better, because the moment when you decide to keep doing the same old thing and to not continue to make things get better is the moment where you have a turning point and things start to go downhill. So don't let your pride get in the way of bettering yourself sexually and learning more about your sexuality and about how you can perform better sexually, because you're only going to be limiting yourself from more pleasure when you do that. Now, Erwan, I have had a really great time talking to you and learning from you about this. You've delivered such great content and so much of it so fast to our listeners. I think we've gotten such a really great taste of the massive amount of great information you have to give us. Can you tell us more about where we can learn more from you, what programs and courses and such you have to offer, and how we can continue to learn from you more formally?
Sure. We offer a relationship curriculum. It starts with a course called the Pleasure Course. It's a 3-day seminar, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Friday is all about spirituality and psychology. Saturday is all about masculine, feminine dynamics and picking a person up and the stages of relationship all the way to an eternal date. Sunday is all about sexuality and extended orgasm. How do you do that? How do you have that? There's activities during the evening that people do privately. And that's really how it all gets started. After that, there's mastery of relationship and is the oracle of life and love. And we do retreat courses in Mexico. One course I should mention that's after the pleasure course is the Sensuality Expansion Program. That's an intensive program about extended orgasm. And we kind of ended our call on extended orgasm. That's a very intensive course about learning how for a man to produce extended orgasm in a woman's body and how for a woman to receive that. So I think that may be something that those listening are particularly interested in. But it all starts with the pleasure course and how you can find out more is by emailing or calling us. If you want to call, the phone number is 415-308-9580. That's 415-308-9580. And that's Alicia's phone number. Alicia's my wife. She sort of handles all of the talking to people about courses and that kind of thing. You can also email her at Alicia@erwandavon.com, and that's Alicia at erwandavon.com, which is Erwandavon, Erwandavon.com. The website, erwandavon.com, also has the contact information. And yeah, I think that's basically how people can get in touch with us. And, you know, I wanted to thank you, Brian, just for this podcast and, you know, you're getting this information out there and, you know, it just makes the world a better place. So I really appreciate what you're doing and you're spending the time with me.
Well, thank you for coming on the show and being able to deliver so much great academic content in such a concise format. I mean, it is my mission to educate people and empower them sexually because I've seen all of the sexual pain out there and sexual stifling out there that people get from their social conditioning and all of these different ways. And I just want to help provide sexual healing for the listeners and sexual education and help them to become sexually liberated and enlightened and empowered. And you've been able to help me with that mission in such a great way. And I was just so impressed at how much content you were able to deliver so quickly in such a great presentation here. So it was my pleasure having you on the show. And I urge all of the listeners to go to his website right now. Can you spell out the website name for us one more time?
Yeah, the website is ERWAN, D like David, A like Apple, V like Victor, O-N, erwandavon.com. And if you call Alicia, if you email her or call her, she'll give you a free 30-minute session with her to explore your romantic and sexual goals. And she'll tell you all about the pleasure course, and she'll give you an opportunity to register.
I'm actually going to do that. And I hope that all of the listeners do that as well. This is a man who is impressing me, and I myself am a very well-read, well-educated, academic type of person. So when I say that someone has impressed me, that is saying a lot. And I want you to go to his website right now and make sure that it is at least bookmarked. Maybe you're listening to this while you're working or you don't have time to check it out right now. Make sure that you bookmark it right now so that you don't forget to visit it, because it would be such a great resource that would be really unfortunate for you to lose track of. So bookmark Erwan Davon right now. That's ERWANDAVON.com. And make sure you check out his pleasure course. And be sure to check him out on YouTube, because he has a slew of other videos that are also packed full of great content on this topic and other related topics. And be sure to check out his course, the Pleasure Course. I mean, who doesn't want more pleasure in their sex life? This is a course about increasing your pleasure in your sex life. Make sure that you check that out, because this is a man that can help you to have a much greater sexual experience that you want to have more pleasure in your sex life. And if you contact Alicia and mention this podcast, you will get a free 30-minute session. So don't miss out on that opportunity, because that is such a great opportunity for you to get free value that is going to be specific to you. You're going to have a personalized free 30-minute session specific to you and your love life and how you can get your wants and needs met. And that is such a great value. I mean, this guy is kind of a big deal. He's been around for a long time. His business is very large, and him giving out free content is a really great opportunity. So make sure you don't miss out on this special offer for you, the listeners of this podcast. I mean, I myself am going to even take him up on this offer. So if I'm doing it, then you should be too. Because, again, you know, I'm someone who has already been working on this stuff for a long time. But, you know, I see the value that he has to offer, and I'm going to be taking advantage of this. And I really hope that all of you do as well, because it would be really unfortunate if you missed out on this ability that you have, this opportunity that you have right now to better your sex life in this way from such a great academic source. Now, Erwan, this has been such an exciting podcast for us. We're going to be concluding it now. Is there anything you want to say to the listeners to wrap things up and bring it to a conclusion?
you know, just thank you for listening. And, you know, I love doing this, and it's really all the people out in the world who participate that allows me to do this and have the, you know, really the great life that I have, and even the great relationship that I have with my wife. So I just really like to thank everybody.
Well, thank you. And on behalf of all the listeners, you're welcome.
It's great.
I really enjoyed this, and I'm looking forward to my 30-minute session and all the other resources of yours that I'm going to be perusing on your website and your YouTube channel, and I'm sure that all the listeners are as well.
And be sure to stay tuned for next week's episode on sexual healing with special guest Sherry Winston from the Center for the Intimate Arts.
And that being said, I hope that you guys all enjoyed this episode and are going to use all the information you learned in it to bring it into your life, to enhance your sexual experiences and gain the sexual fulfillment that you wanted to have. And until next week, enjoy having the love life of your dreams. Bye, everyone.
Bye-bye.